If you have a Bible tonight, you'll find our text again in two places. One in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1, and then in Genesis chapter 22 tonight. Genesis chapter 22. We appreciate the good day the Lord has given us. Appreciate each one of you that have come out tonight to be in the services. We appreciate Gary and Shelley having us over to eat today, and that's always a blessing, and we appreciate their kindness. Appreciate the good choir tonight, Brother Brian, the good music. A few months ago, her and I were coming out of South Georgia on Sunday morning, going up 95 in the outside lane, doing about 80 miles an hour. And I had to start somewhere Sunday night, and she's turned on the live church service. And as soon as the choir started singing, God broadsided me in the car. And I got to weeping, got to waving my hands. I couldn't control myself. I looked over at her. I said, "You're not going to worship?" She said, "No, I'm going to watch the road." So, there was one person in the car got help. We do enjoy listening to the services on Sunday. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 22. We have been since Sunday morning looking at some various and sundry times in the Bible where God called a Bible character by their name twice. And I've told you, whenever my mom and dad called my whole name, John Thomas Gillam, it wasn't to congratulate me. And many of these occasions were purposeful. But a verse that has helped me with what I call these double name calls is in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. Paul, the elderly preacher, telling the young preacher, he says, "Who has saved us?" You notice it's in the past tense. It's an aorist tense, meaning something has been done in the past that guarantees a future result. And called us, once again, that same verb tense, something done in the past, guaranteeing something be done in the future, with a holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. So here we have saved, called with a holy calling, according to his own purpose and grace. I'd ask Paul tonight, when exactly, where did that originate? That call, that saved, that holy calling, that purpose, that grace. Says in verse 9, which was given us in Christ Jesus. All of that took place in Christ Jesus. Yes. Brother Paul, could you tell me exactly when it took place? Amen. This save, this call, this holy calling, this purpose, this grace. He says in verse 9, before the world began. Oh, yes. All of this took place. So I am to believe tonight that all of these calls were issued in eternity past. They have come down through the galaxies of time. And they have landed upon that individual right at the right time. On Sunday morning, we looked at the call to salvation on the road to Damascus when Jesus said, "Saul, Saul." I can't help but believe from 2 Timothy 1:9 that call was issued in eternity past. It's come down through the eons of the ages and landed upon him on the Damascus road and lit him up inside. He said, "But God commendeth the light to shine in my soul, and it shined in the glory of God." And then we went to this holy calling, these various services. We looked at Martha, called to service. Biblical service is not about you doing something, but it's about you being somewhere. At his feet, Mary was. Biblical service. And then last evening, Simon, Simon, a call to sifting. God has already ordained the trials and the troubles that he's going to send your way. They have been originated in eternity past, and they shall reach you right on time. But we've got good news. He says he's praying for us, interceding for us while we're going through. Tonight I turn our attention to Genesis chapter 22, where there'll be another double name call. I want us to see that it is the call to sacrifice. The Bible says in Genesis 22 and verse 5, and Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Verse 9, and they came to the place which God had told him of. Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, took the knife to slay his son. The angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. I believe that call had come from the eons of ages in past. God had stepped out and cried out, Abraham, Abraham. It's been coming down through the galaxies of time and landed right on top of Mount Moriah just at the right time when he needed it. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. The word sacrifice tonight, to place upon an altar goods bought and sold at a loss, to give that which costs greatly, to destroy one thing in order to save another thing, to purchase something that's not worth the price. Sacrifice. Our Lord has made a sacrifice tonight that has enabled Abraham, which I think is the key to this whole story. This is not an Isaac story. God's never wanted your Isaacs. He don't want your junk. Oh, no. He wants you. If he ever gets you, he'll get you junk. I think the key to this whole story is in verse number 10. When Abraham was in this position, there has there become a death to self. It is the highest death. It's much more important than graveyard, put you in a hole in the ground, throw dirt on you. It's much more important to raise the knife to self. I'll be honest with you tonight. Self-killing is not easy. Self don't like to die. Oh, no. A couple of areas in my life tonight, I have been knifing them for a long time. And they still got a lot of flop in them. Dying to self is not an easy venture. But Christ has offered a sacrifice tonight that is beyond all other sacrifice. That would enable you and I to lift the knife and kill self out tonight. Die to our stinking self. As we begin to open this text tonight, I see the state of the call. It would involve tonight, we learn in verse number 9, an altar life. It says that Abraham built an altar there. I would remind you tonight, if you're a Bible student, this is, you'd almost think God wrote the Bible. This is the fifth time that Abraham has built an altar. If you and I are to die to our stinking self tonight, it will take much, much grace tonight. To die to ourselves and live only to what He wants. But He has offered a sacrifice tonight that reeks full of grace tonight, that would enable us to raise the knife, die to ourselves, die to those things that are not like Christ. This altar life, He says in verse number 5, "And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship." Oh, this grace will produce worship in us tonight. Brokenness. I never worshiped tonight. I never was broke in God's presence until I began to want to die to myself. That's the reason why you don't wave your hands. That's the reason why you don't say amen. That's why you don't say praise the Lord. That's why you don't weep in a service tonight. It's not because you're unemotional. You're a very emotional people. Your family's heard you scream and holler before. You just choose where you want to scream and holler at. If you ever die to yourself, take that knife to yourself. You'll want to worship. This grace, he says in verse number 9, "And they came to a place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood." It will produce obedience, unquestioning obedience in our life. Oh, test of faith tonight will be overlooked by the church. Oh, but the test of faith, if it is failed by you tonight, will not be overlooked by Christ. Oh, tonight He demands that we raise the knife to ourselves. An altar life. But I noticed that it was an effectual life. He says in verse number 10, "And 4 days later, Abraham stretched..." No, He don't even say that in the Living Bible. No! Immediately, the arm is in the air. The knife is fixing to come down into the jugular vein, right underneath in Isaac's throat. This son whom he loved, offer him as a living sacrifice. God is not interested in Isaac. God is interested in Abraham. He's interested in him dying to himself. He's not interested in you putting something in the offering plate, singing in the choir, teaching a Sunday school. He wants you.
Yes. Amen.
Must have a knife place in us tonight. Demands much grace to die to self. I thought it was interesting. Hebrews chapter number 11, the writer of Hebrews says that the Lord said that He offered, past tense, He offered Isaac up as a sacrifice. Looks like to me from the story, He didn't knife him. God said in Hebrews, He knifed him. Well, how did He knife him if He didn't knife him? Because He knifed Himself. That's all God ever wanted. But you know, God will come through your little Isaacs, your little possessions, your little things, in order to get you to raise the knife to yourself. I have found in this text, there's two or three things that would help me to raise the knife to myself. I share one of them right now. It is a strong relationship with the God who communicates. The God who communicates. In verse number 1 it says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did test Abraham and said unto him." If you're one of God's people, you're walking with God, you have been called by Him, He will talk to you. You're listening. Says again in verse number 2, and He said, God speaking. Again in verse number 9, they came to the place which God had told him of. God had spoke to him. Verse number 15, and the angel of the Lord, a Christophany, God, incarnate form, came in bodily form and spoke to Abraham. The only way you and I will ever raise the knife to ourselves, a strong relationship with the God who communicates. Preacher, you got any idea how He communicates? Yes, this is awful deep. I don't even know if you can get this. You might have to go somewhere and get a doctor's degree in theology, but I'm going to let you know tonight how God speaks through this book.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So if you're going to have a strong relationship with the God who communicates, you must have a strong relationship with this book. A picture of your relationship with God is pictured by your relationship with this book. The things that you value the most is what you'll spend the most time with. You listening to me? I notice a lot of you don't even have your Bible with you tonight. I don't know where did you leave God at? Is He in the bedroom at the house? Is He under some table somewhere? This book is God in written form. It is the only thing that'll help you and I to take a knife to ourselves. Not only is there the state of this call, but I notice in our text there is the substitute for this call. Another thing that will give us the ability to raise the knife to ourselves, and it's not easy. I'm not here tonight telling you that this is a cakewalk. I've been saved 53 years, and there's some things in my life that I have not yet killed. Not yet killed. There is a second thing that will help you and I. Is a strong relationship not only with the God of communication, but a strong relationship with the God of the cross. Notice, if you would, the substitute for this call. Notice in verse number 13, there is the power of the ram. Abraham's got his knife in the air. He's fixing to kill Isaac. Verse 13 says, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, the call, all that originated in eternity past, Paul told us in 2 Timothy 1:9, all of it's coming to fruition right here on the top of this mountain. He says, a ram caught in the thicket by what? By his horns. Oh my. This little word caught, to seize hold, to become a possession. Horns are the source of this ram's power, his authority.
Right.
The only thing I can consider tonight, he has been caught willingly. He could have got out of that very easily by a couple of shakes of the head, and he'd have been free. Oh, isn't it true of our Lord tonight? He willingly laid down his life. No one took his life from him. He laid it down willingly tonight. There was no defense of self. He made himself of no reputation. He did it willingly for you and I. That gives us the ability to raise the knife to ourselves. If we have a strong relationship with the God of the cross.
Amen. Amen.
But I notice too tonight the position of the ram. He says in verse number 13, he would offer him as a burnt offering. He was going to offer Isaac as a burnt offering. burnt offering, one of the most hideous offerings of all the Old Testament offerings. They're going to insert the knife right below the jugular. They're going to open all the way below the belly button. They're going to open up. They're going to take all the body parts out while they're still living. The lungs, the heart, all of the parts. And they're going to stick them up underneath the altar, set the whole thing on fire. That's what Abraham was fixing to do when he raised his hand in the air. Now God has given him one as a substitute to take his place. He says a burnt offering in the stead, in the place of, in a substitute. Jesus became my substitute. And when I get a hold of that, or let it get a hold of me, overwhelm me, it gives me the ability to raise the knife to myself. Died with a purpose tonight. He did not die to make salvation possible. Right. Wouldn't he even had egg on his face if nobody would have wanted it?
Well, listen.
He died with purpose.
Yes. Yes.
This was established. He said, Paul done told us in 2 Timothy 1:9, he established this in eternity past.
Why, yes. Why, yes.
Well, who is he dying for, preacher? I know one thing. He died for me. I believe the crazy song that says, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. I believe with all my heart. He was thinking about me. My sin and his sorrow he took and became my very sin and my sorrow. He gave up his will, his way, his choice, his expectations, his hopes, his dreams, his possession, all of that so that I could raise the knife to my will, to my possession, to my dreams, to my ways tonight, and die to me.
Yes, amen.
I was thinking about a verse. Wouldn't take a long time with it, but I love it. When it comes to dying to self, I don't know if you want to turn there or not. You can if you want to. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Paul said, I am crucified, past tense, with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Christ liveth in me. Life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. Gave himself for me. Please forgive me. I know we believe we ought not change the King James, and I agree with all of that. Don't get me wrong, but when I see all those personal pronouns in there, I can't help myself. I just have to take them out and put my name in there. I'm sorry, I just can't help myself. So I'm just going to read it again like it should have been written. Tom Gillum was crucified with Christ.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, Tom Gillum lives. Yet not Tom Gillum, but Christ liveth in Tom Gillum.
Yeah.
And the life which Tom Gillum now lives in the flesh, Tom Gillum lives by the faith of the Son of God who loved Tom Gillum and gave himself for Tom Gillum. When that overwhelms me, I can raise the knife to myself.
Why yes? Why yes? Why yes?
Must have a strong relationship with the God of communications. Must have a strong relationship with the God of the cross. But I noticed back in our text in Genesis 22, I noticed last of all, it must be a strong relationship with the God of compensation. The God of compensation. Notice Abraham and Isaac's sufficiency from this call. He says in verse 14, and Abraham called the name of that place. What? Y'all gonna call it what? Jehovah Jireh. As it is to this day. The mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. I notice this sacrifice was a sufficiency then. They call the place Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah is the word for I am. The little word Jireh, seeing to it. I am seeing to whatever you need, Abraham and Isaac. I will see to it. But that's hundreds and thousands of years ago. Preacher, what good is that to me? Not only was there a sufficiency then, there is a sufficiency now. Well, how about my Moriahs? How about the knife to myself? How about the death to myself? He whispers to me, Tom, I'm still Jehovah Jireh. I will see to every need that you have. Oh, tonight, what a God of compensation tonight. That helps me to raise the knife to myself tonight. What in the world gives me the right? What in the world gives me the right to enter into what Abraham had? They're fighting over there tonight because they, I didn't know if you noticed or not. I'll go back up there and read it for you. He says in verse number 2, and he said, take now thy son, thine own. I thought Isaac had two boys. God said they only had one boy. That other one they had that's fighting and dropping bombs on Israel tonight, that's the other boy. The one that God said, I don't recognize. He was illegitimate. Hello? Don't want to confuse you with the Bible. But what gives me the right to enter into all of this? I notice in the text, in this sufficiency, there is a seed through this call. He mentions this seed to Abraham in verse number 17. He says that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seeds. No! Just seed. As the stars of the heaven, the sand which is upon the sea shore, thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed me. So here, if you're Abraham's seed, he said, you're blessed. He said, you get it all. Well, what good is that to me? Not only is there a calculation of a people, you've got the Bible there tonight, back over in Galatians as we close this sermon out. In chapter 3 and verse 16, he says, now to Abraham and his seeds, where the promise is made. He saith not into seeds, as of many, but as of one, into that seed which is Christ. So Abraham's seed, he said, was Christ. Oh, but it's so much bigger than that. Look at chapter 3 and verse 29. And if ye be Christ, then are you Abraham's seeds, and according to the promise. Heirs, joint heirs. So everything Abraham got, I'm getting. Everything Christ has tonight, I'm getting. I'm a joint heir tonight. That's a big difference in an heir. An heir means I've got to cut the pie with you tonight. And we all get a little, I hear people all the time say, well, we come from a big family, had 19 in our family. That sounds good. Until y'all cut that pie, you ain't going to get much. But I'm a joint heir tonight. I ain't cutting no pie with none of you tonight. Whatever he's got, I'm getting it all. I ain't sharing it with you tonight because I am Christ. And because of that, it gives me the ability to raise the knife to myself. True sacrifice of self demands much grace. Before we can say that all of grace is my story, we must come to the place of living by faith in Jesus alone, trusting, confiding in His great love, from all harm safe in His sheltering arms. Living by faith, feel no alarm. I was reading today, her and I in the Valley of Visions, old Puritan prayers, and this was today for us. Spoke to me volumes about me needing to knife the flesh in my life. The name of it is The Dark Guest in My House. Did you know that all of y'all have a dark guest that lives inside of you? So wicked. The old Puritan said, "Oh Lord, bend my hands and cut them off, for I have often struck thee with a wayward wheel. When these fingers should embrace thee by faith, I am not yet weaned from all created glory, honor, wisdom, and esteem of others. For I have a secret motive to eye my name in all I do. Let me not only speak the word seeing, but see the thing itself. Give me to view a discovery of sinfulness, to know that though my sins are crucified, they are never wholly mortified. Hatred, malice, ill will, vain glory that hungers for and hunts after man's approval and applause, all are crucified, forgiven, but they rise again in my sinful heart. Oh, my crucified but never wholly mortified sinfulness. Oh, my lifelong damage and daily shame. Oh, my indwelling and besetting sins. Oh, the tormenting slavery of a sinful heart. Destroy, oh God, the dark guest in my house, whose hidden presence makes my life a hell. Yet thou hast not left me here without grace. The cross still stands, meets my needs in the deepest straits of the soul. Lead me to the foot of Calvary and leave me there." Oh, tonight, I wonder if you're here tonight and you sense a great need in your own heart to raise the knife to yourself. Are you living the faith life, the altar life? Have a strong relationship with the God of communication, the God of the cross, the God of compensation? Are you raising the knife? Do you see evidence that you even have a desire to raise the knife to yourself? Or do you think self's okay? Have you ever seen the righteousness of Christ and realized that you were lost and in need of Calvary? It'd be a wonderful night tonight for you to bow to His Lordship. Hear that divine call of your name that lights up your soul, that began in eternity past, been coming down through the eons of ages, and may would even land here tonight upon a heart. We're standing, our heads are bowed, eyes are closed, preacher's coming.